This is James Throgmorton, and I want to say a little word before I start the sermon for all the people that I mail CDs to and the ones that listen to the sermons online. I haven't been able to record anything for the last month and a half because I had a heart attack and had bypass surgery. My voice is probably still a little weak and a little shaky, and I probably won't speak real long time today, but I did want to let everybody know what happened, and I'm fine. I was very lucky, didn't realize that I had a heart problem, and was just getting examination, and the cardiologist gave me a test where they gave me a drug, and it actually triggered a heart attack, and I had the heart attack in the waiting room of the cardiologist's office. And if it had happened somewhere else, I probably wouldn't be making this recording right now because the doctors were right there and were able to resuscitate me and get me into intensive care. So I just thought I'd let everybody know a little bit. I want to continue with the series of three sermons that I started about Jacob's son, and then the last one will be Jacob's God, which will be the most important one of all. Today I want to talk about Jacob's sons, and we find this recorded in the Bible in Genesis, basically in about the 29th and 30th chapters. And as we previously discussed, Jacob was a unique person. He was a unique person in God's sight. He was a man that, after the trials and tribulations that he went through, that God approved of. And he changed his name to Israel, which means a prevailer with God. And God himself gave Jacob's family a special blessing because it was Jacob's family that would become the nation of Israel. And when I say the nation of Israel, I'm talking about all 12 tribes, not modern-day Judah, or ancient Judah for that matter, because the first place in the Bible that the word Jew is mentioned, the Jews were at war with Israel. And that's a contradiction to the way most people think today, because most people assume, and I emphasize the word assume, that the Jews are all the Israelites. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that they were to become a nation, and that eventually God would use that nation in establishing the millennial reign, the kingdom of God. And modern churchianity, even in the Church of God, has thrown that truth away. Or said, as I was told by one person, it just doesn't make any difference. Even if you can prove that modern-day Israel is Western civilization today. Western civilization today are the descendants of Jacob and his 12 sons. Now, we know that Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. And we remember the story of that's recorded in the Bible about the fact that Laban actually fooled Jacob and married him to Leah when Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel. And yet God gave Leah more sons than he gave Rachel. And there was a purpose for this, because God was building the structure of a future civilization. Leah had Reuben, Levi, Levi is the tribe that were God's representatives. His priest, Moses and Aaron, were Levites. Simeon, Judah. Judah is the tribe that later on God himself, when he came down to the earth as a human being, and by the way, that God was the God of Jacob, when he came down to the earth, he came and became a Jew, a descendant of David, the line of the tribe of Judah. Leah also had Issachar and Zebulun. And then Rachel, who was Jacob's first choice for a wife, only had two children, Joseph and Benjamin. And actually, she died when Benjamin was born. These two tribes are very, very interesting. You know, we all know the story of Joseph in the Bible. It's been, a Broadway play and a movie, and I know I've seen a stage play on the Joseph's coat of many colors, and I guess everybody sort of confuses that with Dolly Parton's song about it and thinks it was a ragtag coat. Well, it really was, and it was a woven coat that was very delicate and was made of lots of different colors of thread. I'm sure it had a pattern, and it was something that was prestigious. In fact, some of Joseph's descendants, the Scottish, still wear that tartan, the woven cloth. They still use it to this day. And Benjamin was the youngest brother of Joseph. Now, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and we all know the story about the Jacob crossing his hands when he blessed him, and God tells Jacob that over in Genesis 35 and verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of their loins. A nation and a company of nations. We've understood that. There's a lot of information. It's what I'm talking about now. I'm not going to go back and cover the things that have been covered in the Church of God for about 50 years in the modern-day Church of God. Like I say, it's a truth that people, and I'm not talking about everyone, but I'm talking about the majority of the Church of God do not take seriously. You know, the story of Joseph and the story of Jacob's 12 sons were not put in the Bible so that they could be used in a children's class or a children's coloring book or something, just as a little aside. It's the central theme of the Bible. It's the central theme of the Bible. Jesus Christ told his disciples that in the kingdom of God, in the resurrection, when Christ comes back for the millennial reign, that each one of them would be given one of the tribes of the house of Israel, descending from Jacob's sons, to rule. They would be ruler over one of the tribes. Now, if you want to call Christ a liar, and people do sometimes. They do, because they don't think anymore. Like I say, I'm not speaking of everyone, because God does have faithful people. Like God told Elijah, when Elijah thought he was the only one left, God told Elijah, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed their knee to Baal or Baal. Jacob also had four other sons because his wives were in a contest to have children. And of course, this was a different day and an age, and it wasn't the kind of social structure that we have today. Jacob had two wives, and their handmaidens were accepted as legitimate. You know, society and things change a lot, and the fact that this is in the Bible, God backed it up. And one of these was Bilhah, and she had Dan and Naphtali. Now, Dan is a tribe that has always been quite rebellious. And they're pretty easy to identify because they have carried the name of Dan and carry it today. I've been there to one place where they inhabit in modern times. And we call it Denmark, but they call it Danmark. And then there was this other wife, and she was a wife, if you remember. And this sort of sounds strange sometimes to modern people, but David had a lot of wives. Solomon had a lot of wives. Bible calls them his wives. Doesn't say they were, that there was fornication or adultery or something taking place there. Now, we know about David's adultery with Bathsheba, but that was dealt with, and then she became his legitimate wife and had Solomon, and the line goes right down in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. So let's don't make the mistake of trying to get a little more righteous than God is. Human beings like to do that sometime. The other wife was Zilpah, and I probably am not pronouncing any of those words right, but we probably don't know how they were actually pronounced in Hebrew. And she had Gad and Asher, and Gad has been a prominent tribe and has, in my opinion, what the Bible teaches from what I know, was told by his mother and his mother's, the mother wife, that he was probably the choice of the litter, the choice of all 12. And that's a little bit of my opinion, but there's some historical evidence that sort of bears that out. Now, I want to talk about some other things. And like I say, the Church of God for 50 years has identified a lot of modern-day Israel. Ephraim and Manasseh, the British Empire, Great Company of Nations, and the one greatest single nation on the earth that everybody sort of hates. Who in the world today is hated more than the British, the Americans, and the Jews? Remember what Christ said. If they hate you, don't feel bad about it, because they hated me first. What I think Moses was told by God when the children of Israel rebelled against him, God said, they're not rebelling against you, they're rebelling against me. And so this world, the carnal mind, is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, nor can be. And the carnal mind is opposed to the way that God thinks. Now, let's go back to our subject. And God picked Jacob, and for a reason. He tested Jacob. The more you get tested, the more it's evident that God has a job for you. And that's probably true today, although in this, the way people think today, they get more concerned with other things, prestige, pride, so the church has understood a lot about the identity of modern-day Israel. And like I said, Jacob's sons became Western civilization because they left the Middle East. They didn't all leave at one time, and there is really good evidence of this. Some of them left Egypt and began to migrate. In fact, there is even DNA evidence of this, and I'm going to talk about DNA a little bit later. I'm not an expert on it, but I can count. I'm smart enough that I can count to seven and know that the seventh day is the Sabbath. I'm smart enough to be able to count to three and know that Christ wasn't executed on a Friday. But a lot of people are not. People that don't believe God. That's the difference between most of us and the most of them, if you'll put it in that way, is we believe in God. There's another thing. I have a book that I've had for a long time. And the name of it is The Word. It's got 22,000 examples of the source of the English language and the fact that they came, the 22,000 words that are covered in this dictionary come from Hebrew, which Hebrew was the original language, if we believe the Bible, and will probably be restored sometime. I was pretty amazed. I was fortunate enough to be in Israel last year about this time, and they have restored the Hebrew language. Probably a stepping stone. You see, God's already working in this generation, and people are so concerned about themselves that they don't look and see where God's working. They don't see what God's doing. I remember when I was about 12 years old, 12, 13, I learned the modern identity of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh. And it changed my view. It gave me a view of a God that had a plan, that had a purpose, and that as I studied more and more, and after God opened my mind, I came into His church, I began to understand that He had divided that nation and He had move them from their native territory, that He had separated Judah and Israel right after Solomon's reign, made two separate nations out of them. Israel, the 10 tribes, disobeyed God faster. In fact, Jeroboam fired all the priests and put his own low-caliber people in. And they started Baal worship, Baal worship. But God didn't allow Elijah and Elisha to restore the true religion of God in Israel. Rather than that, He allowed the Assyrians to come and take them captive and disperse them to Europe. That was the logical place to go. In fact, there's Israelites scattered around the world. And when I say Israelites, I'm talking about descendants of Jacob's sons. Jacob's sons were their ancestors. Now, let me mention something here that I want to be sure and make a definite point about. And that's the fact that when I start talking about the 12 tribes and Jacob's sons, and there'll be somebody out there that'll yell racism. No, God's not a racist. He created all the races, and He created for a specific purpose. In fact, I'll give you a little example a little later about that. It has, again, to deal with DNA when I get to that subject. In Hebrew, the word for Sabbath, Saturday, you know, by Roman pagan Christianity is Sabbat. You know, it's very interesting that all these European countries, and I'll list several here, that have their word for the seventh day of the week is a derivative, if not nearly identical, to the Hebrew word. Spain, Italy, Portugal, Armenia, the Czech Republic, they all use a word that is evident comes from Hebrew, Sabbat. Now this is a little bit of just added information. You know, one time I was talking to a minister that was part of an organization that I belonged to at the time, and they were in the process of belittling the modern day identity of Israel. And I took some evidence. I took the book that I was speaking about the Hebrew origin, and they, all sorts of evidence. There is a lot of evidence. And I laid out the evidence and tried to, you know, which was basically what the church had always taught. And I had a little additional thing about the Hebrew language and some things that I'd discovered myself that just added to what I'd already understood and confirmed it. And I present all the proof, and it was ho-hum. And I said, there's a lot more proof of the identity of modern-day Israel than there is proof for the virgin birth or for the resurrection. Now, that might sound like blasphemy to somebody, but stop and think about it. The virgin birth, we only have the Word of God. Of course, that should be enough for the resurrection. Again, we have the Word of God. We have the Word of eyewitnesses written down in the Bible. But, you know, if we took that to court, they would say that's hearsay. So there's certain things we believe on faith. Modern day identity of Israel has proof, absolute proof of what I'm talking about, and I've given you some of it. I'm going to give you some more. I'll just touch on the surface today. I want to talk about DNA a little bit. Now, I'm not an expert on DNA by a long shot, but I find some things that are interesting, and I watched several documentaries on the subject and read a little and got some information on things. And I'll give you one little interesting thing. The evolutionists take DNA, and most of these people are. I don't know them individually, but that's the general thrust of modern scientific thought. And they will trace man through DNA back to a single female. They even call her Eve. I guess a little bit tongue-in-cheek. And an interesting thing that I just ran across last 3 weeks is that They said there is a bottleneck of 4 females that all humanity comes from. Interesting. Talk about proof. If we look at the Bible, we would see that all of mankind, again, if we believe the Bible, that all of mankind descended from 4 females. Eve, the mother of everybody, and then Noah's daughter-in-laws that has the different races that God created. And like I say, people yell racism. In fact, I'm going to give a sermon before long on spiritual racism, because anybody that thinks they're superior because of the way they look or the gifts they have been given, maybe they can, you've got a beautiful voice and can sing. Maybe they've got a very resonant voice and they can speak real good. I can't. I wasn't given that gift. But I've seen people with those gifts that were so proud of them. I've seen people back fairly recently were sort of gloating about the fact that they were superior to some of other God's other people because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you superior to anybody. The Holy Spirit will make you humble. In fact, these people were running up a flag and said, "We don't have it." But that's another subject. The meek shall inherit the earth, not the proud. Get back to this DNA. It's interesting that the population of Europe and of course the evolutionists want to change where the human race originated from, the Middle East. They want to change it to Africa. And listen, there's some real racism behind that. There's some real racism, and I won't get into it. And you get in some of the white supremacists, and they tell you all about it. They pick up on that. And I had one a few years ago that tried to educate me to something. And it's pure, raw racism. And that's God is not a racist. He's not a respecter of persons. He wasn't a respecter of Jacob over Esau. Esau didn't want what God had to offer. Jacob wanted it and was willing to work hard, struggle, be an overcomer to prevail with God. And so God gave it to Jacob and his descendants. Jacob earned it. Now, let's talk about DNA a little bit. And like I say, I'm not an expert on this, but just what I see that is very interesting, that in Europe, the primary maternal DNA is haplotype. Type H is the most common in Europe and had its beginning in the Middle East. Now, these people wouldn't think about saying in Israel, although I saw one program where they traced a man's DNA and they were able to tell him that he came from Egypt, probably through Palestine. That is amazing. That is amazing. You know, can only be awed at God's creation and the way he has planned everything. And it is this DNA, this maternal haplotype, H, maternal DNA, is by far the most common in Europe. Well, where did Western civilization originate? Europe? Where's Western civilization today? Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the United States, Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland. That's where it is. And they repeat that it came from the Middle East, not from Africa, but from the Middle East. Now, I thought that was interesting, and it is confirmation, just like the four females is confirmation of the Word of God. I remember when I first learned about fingerprints, and that's been a long time ago, that no two people had fingerprints alike. That was amazing, that everyone was an individual. And it's even more amazing that God has, through the DNA, that He can identify every individual as a specific individual. Man's able to do it within a margin of error, but God can do it exactly. And God's creation is that way. You know, like I said, I just had bypass surgery, and it's been about 7 weeks, and my body's put itself back together. It's healed. It is in the process of healing. That's things that are absolutely amazing. Like DNA, I've been an amateur astronomer for a long time, and you know what scientists have learned and astronomers have learned about the universe in the last 50 or 60 years is amazing. You go back 75 years and it's even more amazing of the things that they've learned. Learned that every star, all light, is broken down into a spectrum, and you can identify the source of that light, the elements that were present when that light was generated. And that's one of the ways they know so much about the universe. They also are beginning to understand, I don't want to get off my subject, but the fact that there's more unseen power and force in the universe, they call it dark matter, than there is that's seen. And of course, there's a whole world of God's realm out there that's actually the big thing. We can't, as human beings, certainly can't see that. But the point I'm making is God doesn't do anything for no purpose at all. The same with Jacob's son. The same with Jacob. Once these boys grow up and Joseph goes to Egypt, the nation of Israel is born in Egypt, and God brings them out. They rebel. They're not loyal to God, because God hadn't given them the nature to be loyal to Him yet, because God's letting them learn by experience. Because when they get through with their experience, every generation, when they get through with their experience, they will have become like their father Jacob and be prevailers with God, and they will be Israel, and their God will be the God of Israel, the God of Jacob. And that's His plan. And He will have an Israelitish kingdom on this earth that'll bring peace and prosperity and will last 1,000 years. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.